You know, every year, all the major, like, civil rights organizations, sororities, fraternities have conventions in Orlando or wherever, as a means for their organization to do things and to do their local kind of a city. So I'm wondering, to your knowledge, did any group or group of citizens in New Orleans write, like, a big letter to Bruce Gordon, NAACP, or whoever, saying, don't spend any money in New Orleans, don't come here because we don't have a house, that kind of thing? If that was done, what was the result? And didn't Essence Magazine have their people playing there, or are they coming to summer?
No, that happened in Houston last year.
They had it
in
Texas.
They had it in Houston last year.
But is it coming back to New Orleans this year?
I believe so.
Essence?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to
take a bunch of questions and then.
So.
Okay. So who else had questions? I saw some other hands. Can you speak up so everyone can hear?
Just talking about the legality and why we're talking about the Louisiana recovery fund, the funds that the governor is holding up, and that they're basically gaining interest on that.
Okay. Any other questions?
He's got me on my hand.
Before we move on, Steve?
I'm just wondering about, you listed several possibilities for how to be good allies. And this is several possibilities about how to be good allies to the struggles that are happening right now. And I'm wondering if there should be a push in some ways for reparations. Not just aid, but actual reparations for New Orleans and people.
That's a good question, Jim.
Okay. So, one more. Go ahead.
I'm wondering if you guys could talk just a little bit. We have information on the growing population of immigrant workers and how that impacts the situation.
Good question, Mary.
Okay. The NAACP and trying to get them to not spend money, I think because of the how economically disadvantaged we are right now, I don't think that any group has actually gone out and said, don't spend money here. I know that for Essence, not 2006, but 2005, because that was the month before the hurricane, because of the killing that had happened on Bourbon outside of Azuz, there was a big action, and we said Essence that was like, no, don't send black people to Bourbon because they will get beaten and shot. Didn't work. And so I'm not really quite sure. Yeah, I mean, like, there's still conventions. There is some, every once in a while, a group will, from their convention, have, like, a delegation go out to a different, like, grassroots group or, like, ACORN or something to offset the fact that they're spending money there and also do charitable work, and that's happening more. But for the most part, it's still convention.
Security's not good.
No, not at all.
Nope, it sure isn't.
And so, yeah, sorry.
But just to point out, understanding the historical context, I mean, of I'm sure the country, but in the city, the corruption was so deep-seated. As far as getting acts and writing letters and trying to pressure the politicians in the city, it was so tightly knit, you know, and you could not get in up there, that decisions, you know, things, just brush it off. Who cares? We run the entire city. Mm-hmm. And so it had been like that from the beginning of the city. And power just changed hands within the family, even the Creoles, who were always politicians all their lives, the grandfathers, the Moriels, the cousins, all of the whole families in politics, it's locked down. So if someone says, I don't want this to happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I had a lot less experience than, say, Cece, who couldn't be here because she has two children in California now. But not now, I mean, she had them in New Orleans. But she was much more heavily involved in the activism, dealing with the city council and all of that, and it was a downhill battle most of the time. Mm-hmm. She fought the education system with the high stakes testing. They won that, thank God, but it was very hard. But it's something to consider now and get more pressure behind us, you know, keeping those things in mind that we do need to start thinking like that again. It's just like the statement, they were so used to being neglected. You forget it's even an option, you know? But we need to start remembering. Okay. As far as the legal stuff around the LRA, that's what we could ask of you as allies, help, you know, to highlight that there is no legal, there's no law things. There's no stop on the real estate transactions and things like that, which there should be. People are without homes all over the country. Homes that were passed down for generations, and everyone knows property is your wealth, have been ripped with no compensation from these people because there's oil in the Ninth Ward underneath the soil. There are no laws right now in place, none for the allocation of the funds, the LRA or anything. So that's the type of stuff we need help with.
Well, I know that when there was a senatorial investigation that came down, and they did their first stop, and they're probably gonna make their next one like next year. I don't know. And basically, they asked where the LRA money is, and there's no answer. It's like the bureaucracies, the state and federal government, are passing the buck back and forth, and they're all trying to rip each other off to figure out who's gonna be allowed. But $100 billion has come down, right? And they're not getting any answers from the city. They're not getting any answers from the state where this money has actually gone. What I was also going to say about that is that, yeah, right now there's no legal backing. The no-bid contracts actually got canceled. They actually said, look, all of those no-bid contracts were illegal. And when they specifically asked, no, that's what he said. The city of New Orleans was specifically questioned about what happened to these no-bid contracts. There was no answer. They skirted the question, and they go around the loophole. So whatever federal investigation is happening, I don't know, legally, everything that is happening right now, including with your question with the reparations, these are all incredibly difficult things to litigate. And when you talk to a lawyer, it makes your head spin because you just can't. A class action suit, it's too late for a class action suit. What is your class? How do you do this? How do you make this happen, you know? The closest thing we have is the most recent class action suit against the Army Corps, and we'll see how that happens.
Which you didn't know about unless you were in the city, because there was no media coverage, say, on the West Coast or the East Coast or anywhere else in the United States. And that's because the law firm that's suing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is Bruno & Bruno, and they're in New Orleans. Uh-huh. The only way I found out about it was someone in the city who called and said, hurry, it's the last day, and I had to hand deliver it to the Army Corps of Engineers in San Francisco.
So basically, I mean, what the lawsuit is that it's the Katrina Justice Network, which is Bruno & Bruno and it's several other groups of lawyers got together, and we're suing the Army Corps of Engineers for their faulty levees. Mm. They're saying, you owe us. Like, come on, you destroyed 80% of the city with your faulty levees. And it was really difficult to get to this point because first the Army Corps said, we're unsuable. Right, yes, and then some other litigation happened, and so now they're suable, and we're going to see what happens. So.
Yeah. As far as the reparations, you mean reparations in regards to what we were talking about years ago? Yes. Like a few decades ago? Yeah, definitely. Push for it, and you can even change the name because the needs have changed. Like, I don't need a mule. You know, I don't know why I would put a mule. So relative to the needs today, yes, definitely.
Would it be a Honda?
Yes.
I'd like a hybrid. So, and immigrant workers, it's really interesting that you brought that up because I wrote a poem about that, and it's only 2 minutes long, so I will read it. But it was specifically about the transition of free labor, because after slavery ended, in 1865 or whatever, they said it stopped.
Right.
There was the population of black people who were in those low-income houses, who were apparently sitting down watching soap operas all day, would at night go and service for slave wages the people of the French Quarter. And we're talking $2.12 as a waitress per hour. Okay, you didn't even look at that check. You just hoped that somebody would tip you. You know, and this is how we live. So the transition from the free labor that the blacks there would keep up has been transitioned to migrant workers. In fact, the president, in his little HR, whatever, and the too many immigrants scare, which doesn't make any sense because their land. But and I say that because I'm part Indian, like most people in the South. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah, he opened the border. He opened the border specifically to allow migrant workers to come into the country to go and work.
However, it's a ripoff.
It's a ripoff.
It's a ripoff because of the visas that, like, the amount of money that you have to pay for your visa by the time that you get here, it's just, it makes more sense to still just be illegal. It's indentured servitude at this point.
Yeah, it is because
the migrant workers are being ripped off left and right. There are so many no wage claims. It's insane. Like, people are just being picked up. They're being taken away, being left. Oh, we're gonna go get you lunch, and the contractor never comes back. And they're getting months not getting paid. Recently, there were some workers that were out in West Louisiana, and they had their passports taken away from them, and the contractor was keeping their passports until the work was done, and then it wasn't gonna pay them. So some organizers went, got the passports back, got the pay back, and you know, most people's money is going back in remittances anyway, like in the money that they're sending back to, you know, their friends and families in other countries. And it's just like, it's like you can't, I don't know.
It's very ugly.
And it's also because the relationship that different races have with their workers is different too. Like, they know that they can rip off immigrant workers. They know that they can rip off, like, Latino workers. However, black workers, it's like a different ripoff. Mm-hmm. It's like they'll catch you and put you in jail and make you work. Or, you know what I mean?
Because and it's then just years and years. Yeah,
and also with the immigration status, what it is that they know that they can make you work, call for a raid, and get you sent back without having to pay you. So
exactly. So it's free labor, which brings us to
the free labor. And then there's also one more thing.
Go ahead.
Is the tension, the black and the brown, is getting out of control. Because it's like, it's just animosity left and right. Why do you have the jobs, but we're not getting paid for these jobs that you're not going to do anyway? You know what I mean? And so it's just, it's back and forth.
It's back and forth. And if anybody will take a look at A Night at the Museum, that movie with, that is a great movie. At the end, when all of the little people are fighting amongst themselves, and he says, wait a minute, the guy who stole the tablet, the whole reason for you guys even breathing is over there. Why are y'all still fighting amongst each other? Okay, you speak Spanish, you speak some dialect of English, we're going to have to educate you on that. You know, why are we fighting amongst each other?
Yes.
So this is called Home of the Brave. Nations built on free labor. Okay, so why is it so surprising they want to expel these neo-illegal immigrants? Just transition free labor to cheap labor and ship it overseas. See, there's no need for corn-eating Indians or pickled pig-lipped niggas. Nations built on free labor. Had we forgotten? See, while buried under layers of comatose entertainment, have we hidden behind these curtains of equality so long that the original components of these nations' equations have been erased from our superpower memory banks? Or had we swallowed the little blue pill of multiculti and thereby erasing all ugly actions of the past? Nations built on free labor. You see, now hurricanes and economy shifts reveal the swift change from we're all free and equal under the sun to gots to make that money, man, my money, signed Uncle Sam. So New Orleans folk, the poor, the blacks, and the poor, I truly apologize, but this city needs more casinos and watered down jazz. Y'all got to go. By any means necessary, which was never a phrase reserved for defending blackness. Try jumping over this water, they said, but see, they don't understand. I had practice on the Atlantic, man. We had practice on the Atlantic, man. Nations built on free labor. Any means, even if it kills. In fact, that's the object. Still, FEMA is population control, not help those of broken will. What it is becomes chopped up in the math. See, your body is the price, your soul is the tax. Body is a price, soul just a tax. These nations built on free labor. Home of the brave, dear immigration slaves. Come, come and sell your skill. Rid yourself of everything. Risk the chance to become a million-dollar American citizen, working at crappy inns, toilets, cooking lines, hotel laundry, FEMA trucks on the Mexican border, empty promises out of reps, 11 months of recovery detail, no checks, 12 natives to a room, swimming in a New Orleans sweat monsoon. Don't be fooled. See, inequalities are polarized, not erased. Cheap labor still equates to slave, slave, slave. See, we have to break these cycles. We're coming of age in this newness of spirit, hue, transcending race, creed, and greed. Interrupt this cycle. See, we're coming of age, exposing heart and bone to conscious living, information flooding of mainframe. We can break these cycles. Try again.
We're coming to a close, but first I want to just ask, so we're all in this struggle together, as our panelists have put forward. This is how we, Catalyst, we got involved in the struggle in New Orleans, supporting work that folks are doing there on the ground, and trying to support work that's happening around the country, and because we see that this is all, it's all connected, you know, and so like, I see that my liberation of my family and my people is dependent on the liberation of the people of New Orleans. And, like, and how folks here have talked about on the panel of being able to, you know, build new models. Mm. You know, like, this is what we have. We have an opportunity to build new models. And the people on the ground who know New Orleans, who are from New Orleans, have the opportunity to, like, to create something new to teach us all, you know, that we can bring into our own communities. So I want to take a second, because our panelists have put out a lot. What are some different things that people heard about how they can support the struggle for justice in New Orleans and for displaced Katrina survivors? What did you hear? Just shout it out.
Anti-racism work.
Anti-racism work.
Leverage our resources, making sure they get to the places that they need to, the people they need to.
Leverage resources, get them to where they need to go.
See how it's happening in other urban centers just without a hurricane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. What else?
Tank support.
Be open-minded.
Go there.
Counter media bias.
Yes. So speaking of that, we're recording. There's lots of recording devices here. and so we're going to get it on, we have it on mini disc form, and we want to get it on the radio. We want to get this panel on the radio all over the country. We want to get these voices out there. We're also going to transcribe it and get it in written form, and we want to get that out there. So if you have connections to the media, come talk to me afterwards, okay? What else? Anything else?
People driven.
Coughing up the dough for grassroots organizing on the ground. What else? What else can you do?
Supporting the artists that are on the panel and their organizations to bring funds, to bring them to their colleges, to their communities, to have them do support to offer them to bring money back to their.
Looking at the connections between racism and sexism. Mm-hmm.
Looking at the connections between racism and sexism. What else?
Starting work at our own doorsteps.
Mm-hmm. Starting work at our own doorsteps.
Fighting gentrification and working for housing rights.
Mm-hmm.
Web design.
Mm-hmm. Web design.
Ending U.S. dependence on oil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the UN guidelines thing, like if, or for anybody who is under that political sector.
Yeah. So I just want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank our panelists real quick.
Hi, everybody. My name is Will Hall, and
my name is Molly Herder,
and I'm from the Icarus Project and the Freedom Center, and Molly is